welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast, first one of 2019. And in fact, I, Kevin Asian in Peoria, Arizona, spring training, pitchers and catchers report. As we record this on Tuesday, they report tomorrow. First workout on Thursday, weather permitting. Jay Posner, my boss, back in San Diego. Jay, welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast.
Kevin, how you been? I feel like you've been so busy keeping track of all the moves that the Padres haven't made in the off season. That, I mean, we've barely talked, barely saw each other. How did the off season fly by so fast? I mean, it seems like just yesterday they signed Greg Garcia and Ian Kinsler and okay. I that's about it.
Well, Garrett Richards.
Oh, Garrett Richards, right, for next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, that was, I thought that was a good signing, but it's not going to help him.
Sure. Now, 15 million, maybe. But hey, they really do believe in him. But again, that's his story, as so many are, for 2020. But for 2019, Ian Kinsler, Greg Garcia, a couple of infielders. I think Ian Kinsler is going to be your starting second baseman. Luis Urias will be your starting shortstop. Where will Greg Garcia be? He might not be on the roster, but a local kid. He's very excited to be here. But that's it, Jay. That's the end, at least for now, as we speak. It's about afternoon here in Peoria on Tuesday.
And who's playing third base? You, Dennis Lynn, AJ Cassavell? You guys all just going to fight it out in spring training for that last starting job?
They swear, though, if you were to ask them right now, like if AJ Preller were on the podcast, which we should do sometime, that would be fun. He would talk about in-house candidates, you know, your Ty Francis and that sort of thing. But I think he and others would privately say, we're going to sign someone. And that's going to be the deal. And is that Mike Moustakas? Is that Marwin Gonzalez? Is that Manny Machado? I think the first two I mentioned are more likely. Moustakas probably the most likely. But look, they're waiting, as I wrote, and it was in today's paper. It was online yesterday. They're waiting on these guys. Now, I'll be straightforward. I don't know the finality of the offers they've given. I don't know the formality of the offers they've given, but the Padres have given to these two players. But all parties know the parameters in which they are operating. And once the players decide that they're going to, you know, come to an agreement, it will happen quickly. I think, now this is not based on any sort of evidence really, it's just based on sort of history and how things happen, that it will happen by the end of the week before players, the full squads, report. I think that's when it'll happen.
I was just going to say, what kind of timing are we looking at? Because I do remember last year having company at my house on a Saturday night of what is this next weekend here, the holiday weekend, and being rudely interrupted by my Padres beat writer, who said he was breaking a very big story, and that was the time. And of course, it was great that you broke the story. It was a story that I had wished that I had said they should not break, because I didn't think that was a wise use of their assets for 1 year anyway. Myself and Bryce Miller were proven correct about Eric Hosmer, but we will see. We will see what happens with Hosmer. But anyway, back to what my original point was, it was this next weekend when that happened. And you're saying you think that could happen again. Now let's go here, because the bottom line is the Padres have made offers to Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, two of the best players in baseball. Both 26 years old, have bright futures ahead of them, you would think. Is there any legitimate chance that either one of these players winds up in San Diego as a member of the home team?
What, I believe there is a legitimate chance.
And who's more legit? Who's more likely?
I think Manny Machado is more likely. But again, and this has been the hard thing about this whole hot stove league, which I wasn't a huge fan of the NFL draft because these kids hadn't played it down in the NFL. But it was big for, you know, the people that I serve, the readers, and so you get into it. I reluctantly get involved in the hot stove, Jay, because things change. Different people are putting out different things. Sometimes an agent is putting out different things than the player and vice versa. You don't know when you're being used. I mean, you just watch it, and you see the tweets fly, and they seem to be different in the afternoon than in the morning, and then suddenly there's 2 weeks of silence.
Right.
So I say all that, Jay, to say, like, I don't know. But you hear things where one day I'm positive. Man, this is for real on Bryce Harper, right? And then, you know, you hear things the next day. No, look, someone else is going to come up with the big money, and he's not going to end up here. You hear Manny Machado doesn't like the West Coast, and then you hear, no, you know what? They're down with it. You hear he's playing the Padres, and then you sit here, no, they're comfortable that Manny's not. Anyway, I honestly don't know, and I would say that anyone who thinks they do, like I saw that the one of the online betting sites, and I don't think they're actually taking bets on this, but they put that the Padres had the second best chance to land both players, behind the Yankees for Machado, behind the Phillies for Harper. They don't know either. It's ridiculous. So,
and then I think I saw the Giants as favorites on another site, but
for Harper.
For Harper, but. It seems like an awful lot of just, you know, and it's one of the, I guess, negatives and one of the things I don't like about sports. And this was the same way, I know, when you did football, you know, and especially around the, you know, especially with the combine and all that stuff, it's like so much gets put on this. But I think, is there a situation here where the, and you hinted at this today in your story, but is there a situation here where the Padres, by putting themselves out there for these two guys in a situation where maybe they're certainly not the favorites, I would say, to land either one, are they just setting themselves up for, as you called it, another letdown? And at this point, with their relationship with some of their fans, and I'm not going to say all of their fans, but some of their fans, are they setting themselves up for people to just say, oh, yeah, sure, same old Padres. Yeah, sure, they made an effort. They probably made some lowball offer. Because, of course, we don't know the actual offer. I mean, only the agents and the Padres know the offer. You see where I'm going, though. Are the Padres running a risk here of do they feel like – they must feel like they have a chance at these guys, because otherwise it seemed like the risk is so high to put themselves out there as just – you know, letting down people again, you know, building it up. Oh, we're going to do this. We didn't do it.
Well, sure. And what I'll say this is they're running the risk. I don't agree with the strict characterization of setting themselves up, because that's not what they're doing. Maybe being set up or you know, they're running the risk when they do this of that perception. And from the outside, where you and I sit, where fans sit, perception is reality a lot of times, right?
So
100%, Jay. That there is that risk, and 100%, the Padres are not happy about that. However, and this is why I don't like the whole they're setting themselves up, they have to say, who cares? We have to go after these guys. Mm-hmm. We owe that to ourselves. Now, I'm not saying they don't care about the fans. Of course they do. But they're running this business of baseball and a business, and they think it's best to put themselves out there to try to get these two players. Now, if it was a crap offer just for PR sake, which I do not believe that it was, then that's one thing. But since I don't believe that's what it was, they are trying to make their team better. In doing so, absolutely, they are. It's why I led with it, because that's, to me, that's just a big feeling right now. It's like, oh my gosh, you got us so excited, especially since takeaway for many fans from another story from this offseason, just shortly before I wrote about them pursuing Machado, was the story about the Padres and the debt reduction and getting themselves in good financial shape to go forward to spend money, probably not this year. And not everybody, but this certain segment of fans and people that read this story, there were a lot of them, got down, oh, we saw it's going to be this forever. And then, boom, Machado, and they're riding the pink cloud and the roller coaster. That's kind of the irony of this offseason, right, Jay? Like, nothing's happened, but Padres fans have ridden this incredible roller coaster.
Right. No, it's true. And you know, some people were skeptical of that story. And you know, that's obviously, I'm not going to be critical of that. I mean, I think the story was, it was a good story, and I'm glad we did it. And it wasn't intended to tell the entire story of all the Padres financials, because that's not going to be told. someone's not going to be able to do that. But I think you were able to shed some light on something. I mean, I have, you know, there were, it's a, I guess, an unfortunate situation that happened, and whether the Padres handled it best or not, I guess that's for others to say in terms of debt reduction and how long it's taken and all that sort of thing. But the idea of going after these players, I think, should be taken as a good thing, because there is risk involved in any of this, in any of this stuff. And as someone who's, you know, spends my falls watching football, wishing for coaches to take more chances, I'm not going to be critical of a baseball organization for doing the same thing. But I just felt like I needed to ask the question of you, and let people hear why they're doing this. And if it is perceived as, you know, yet another tease, yet another letdown, I guess that's something, you know, the Padres will live with, knowing that they took a shot, and you know, hopefully for their fans, it was their best shot. And sometimes people just don't want to take the offer. Maybe somebody makes a better offer. Maybe Manny Machado doesn't want to play on the West Coast. Maybe Bryce Harper doesn't want to play in San Diego, or maybe he, I mean, there's so many variables that we all don't know about, you know, they're going to be judged obviously on, did they get the guy? Did they not get the guy? And, you know, I would love to see one of those guys in a Padre uniform. I think it would be exciting for the team. It'd be exciting for the city. There'd be some, you know, some more reason, certainly reason for hope in 2019 that honestly doesn't seem to exist right now. You know, the Padres say they're going to be better in 2019, but as we look at the roster now, you know, if they're going to be better, it's going to be just a few games better, because some of these young guys, you figure, will continue to get better. You'd figure that Hosmer can't be as bad as he was last year. You hope that Will Myers plays in more than half the games. I mean, you know, and yada, yada, yada. But I think everything seems like it's going to be judged now from some of the fans, that you, the reaction you see on, yeah, I'll buy tickets if you sign one of these guys. Now, you know, I don't put myself in that category as a fan. I buy tickets because I like baseball. I like going to games. It's good entertainment. But I know there's a large segment of people out there that are going to say, yeah, I'll go to games if you sign one of these guys. And so it's just going to be an interesting, hopefully not, I was going to say week, hopefully not more than a week, because I'd love to just see it decided one way or the other. At this point, let's have a resolution to this, and then we can move on to hearing about who's in the best shape of their lives.
So. Yes, it always seems to come to that. But yes, I'm excited for that. Believe me, because it was a great relief last year. And look, Hosmer's not at the level of these two guys, but he was last year. He was one of the top two or three free agents last year. I mean, you know, the class wasn't anything like this year,
right? Right.
And so it was a big deal when they signed Hosmer. And so it was really a relief when, okay, that's done now. You know, last year it was me getting to know these guys. This year it's getting to know them again and continuing to tell the story, rather than it being, like, as you said to me yesterday, completely valid, right? You know, pitchers and catchers are reporting. I got what I think are some really interesting stories the next couple of days. But it's like, well, you said, you know, like, well, do you have something on what people really care about?
I don't think I phrased it quite like that, but I do think, you know, I do think it was time, you know, it would kind of been a few days or maybe even a little more than that without an update on these guys. And I do think that's at the forefront of everyone's thinking, and especially because spring training is so long. And
stop it, Jay. I have 42 days left.
I know. And the idea of you, you being ensconced, as I mentioned yesterday on Twitter, you being ensconced in Peoria with your Hot Wheels Epic Hot Track pack or whatever you found today.
In the closet, next to the Randy Morton vacuum, a Hot Wheels track. It will be built by 3 p.m.
But anyway, it's like, that's why I think the idea of getting this other thing settled. But let's, for a moment, since pitchers and catchers do report tomorrow and they will be on the field Thursday for you to chronicle, what are a couple of the early things that you'll be looking for this week with the, I mean, pitchers, the catchers thing is obvious. They have two catchers, and
yes,
it's, we'll see how that plays out. But what are you going to be looking for in terms of the pitchers? And you mentioned a couple stories coming up. What, give us a little tease about what those are.
Well, really, they're two of the bigger stories. That's why I'm starting there. And one is Matt Strom, who last year, while still recovering from a knee injury and playing about 20 pounds under his weight, and, you know, having never pitched in the majors more than 30 innings, I think it was, or 30-something, he was excellent last year. And that, as I said, was not Matt Strom at full strength. Interesting story about things he did this offseason and how they're going to try to stretch him out because they see him as a starter. But he's sort of the poster child for the pitching staff this year, which is he's a guy who could give you two batters or four innings of relief, and they would be, you know, you would expect every time he'd go out and they'd be scoreless. He's one of those guys where you're like, we love having this guy. Or you can stretch him out. He can be a starter who you think is a legit starter who's going to give you six or seven every time.
Right. I think he fascinates me. I thought I was really impressed with him last year, and that's a guy I can't wait to see what they do with him and how they feel is best to use him, because he looks like a guy who could be a legitimate whether it's like a number three starter or a legitimate, you know, bullpen piece to use. And I think that's really interesting to see, which leads you to your next story about how they're going to use this pitching staff, right?
Getting creative, not necessarily innovative, but maybe with their pitching staff. Look, you're going to have Joey Lucchesi, maybe Matt Strom, maybe, you know, Eric Lauer, that you're going to say, I mean, heck, maybe Brian Mitchell, if he's September Brian Mitchell, where you're going to say, you're a starter.
Wait, sorry, I thought you said Brian Mitchell.
Yes, it's September Brian Mitchell, and if, again, the biggest word in the English language.
Right.
You're a starter, you say to certain guys, and that, you know, in the traditional sense of the word. But then you have a bunch of other guys, and by the way, those are four guys, and maybe one or two of them or three of them, you know, are that guy. But, you know, maybe there's this other spot where, or two spots, every two games every 5 or 6 days that you say, no, you know what? We're going to roll Luis Perdomo out there. We're going to let him go through the order once. And then we're going to roll Robbie Erlin out there. Let him go through the order once. And then we're going to, you know, roll Robert Stock out there. Let him go through the order once. And then, boom, we are to, you know, Wingenter, Stan and Yates, boom. And that's a, you know what? That's a pretty good recipe. How sustainable is it? I don't know. How often will that, you know, will that crew get a win? I don't know, but
do you see that? Do you see
probably that? Better than counting on Robbie Erlin to be a starter?
Right. Do you see that as something that they are interested in long? And it's obviously
no.
Who knows about long term with managers or coaches or anything? But or right. Do you see that as more? This is kind of waiting for guys to be ready. Logan Allens and Chris.
Right.
Obviously, Chris Paddock will be on an innings limit.
Cal Quantrill.
This year, Cal Quantrill, those kind of guys.
The reason that you would do this, and hey, so Matt Strom starts out and he's pitching seven innings. And let's say he goes seven innings, you know, three or four times by June. He ain't going seven innings three or four times the rest of the season because he's never pitched more than last year's 16 to third inning. So he's on a pitch limit.
Right.
Chris Paddock, who last year at this time wasn't even throwing off a mound, if he starts the season or even comes up in April or May, you know what? He's not going to be able to go six or seven every time, if ever. Logan Allen, he'd be more like a guy who probably could get stretched out to 130 or something, but that's not 180 or 200.
Sure.
Cal Quantrill, same thing. So, and there all these names, plus Morahone, Baez, possibly, you know, as soon as next year, Mackenzie Gore, probably 2021, Ryan Weathers, I mean, Luis Patino, on and on. That's why it's not like, hey, wow, we really needed to get Dallas Keuchel this year or Sonny Gray this year or, you know, Noah Syndergaard this year. It's that there's reinforcements coming, and yes, once they're here, we're going to need to get an ace probably because, you know, Mackenzie Gore is not going to show up in 2021 and win 20 games. But they see it as a bridge is my short answer.
Right. Well, it's interesting because last year the innings leader was Clayton Richard, who was, excuse me, was 158 and two-thirds. The top returning guy was Joey Lucchesi at 130, basically averaged five innings an outing. Mm-hmm. Eric Lauer was at 112 I mean, Tyson Ross was higher than that. So, I mean, you've only got three guys returning who even threw more than 80 innings last year.
Yep.
And the next guy, the guy who threw 79 innings, was Craig Stammen. So there's a lot of it seems like there's going to be a lot of piecing together for this year. And I guess if you're looking at a year where you're not going to contend, which is a different story about whether they are or aren't and why they are or are not. But if you're going to be doing some experimenting, this would seem to be the year to do that. And they should be able to get a lot of looks at a lot of guys based on what you're talking about there.
Yeah, because, you know, let's say next year, I don't know what next offseason, I don't know how Garrett Richards is going to be. Remember, Denelson Lamet is going to come back in late June, July,
right,
if everything stays on course. I would think they'd have more of a traditional starting staff next year, but you know what? If Quantrill doesn't come up till later this year. I mean, Paddock doesn't come up till later. Let's say they bring Patino up this next year. Maybe next year they are somewhat like this also because of the uniqueness with Miguel Diaz, Jose Castillo, and Robert Stock, Robbie Erlin, who was sensational. I kind of took a shot at him as it may have seemed like a shot as a starter, but he had a 2.05 ERA and like a sub one WHIP as a reliever. So,
right.
That's a real weapon.
No, I mean they. It's funny. I mean, you all those guys. I mean, they're not exactly, they're not exactly household names. But a lot of those guys pitched pretty well last year, certainly at times, and do show potential. And showed a lot of potential at various times. I mean, Jose Castillo at times last year looked unhittable. There were other times not so much, but he only gave up 23 hits in 38 innings. So
he had like one or two big outings where like he gave up three runs or something like that.
Right, right.
And other times, man.
No, I mean, that was a guy with a sub one WHIP. You know, Stammen's right around one. Robert Stock was a little bit over one. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of arms there, and that's why it's interesting. I think the idea of limiting pitching staffs, and Andy Green talked about this in your Q&A with him, limiting pitching staffs for these guys would not be a good thing. And he made a great point, which is that, you know, you're talking about what am I supposed to do if we played 17 innings the night before and I got three guys who are unavailable and another guy who's hurt, and, you know, or am I supposed to put a pitcher at risk because of this arbitrary limit? I like some of the other things they're talking about with pitchers and, you know, minimum appearances and that sort of thing, but or minimum batters. But it does seem a little weird to start dictating rosters, roster size for people. I don't expect that to, I'd be surprised if that happened at least this year. And I'm sure that Andy Green's not the only manager, that has expressed that viewpoint to,
to his front office. A lot of that is, the union's going to put out this idea. So then MLB puts out this idea. I mean, a lot of that's negotiating. And so we'll see, but you're absolutely right about that. I like the limits, idea. But, you know, I talked yesterday when I was talking with Strom, and I bet you'd be the same any pitcher. That would be their concern, not so much the 18-inning game, which are very rare, but, of course, which I sat through one last year in Arizona, and they had a game the next night.
Right.
They used everybody on their staff, and then they had to bring up two more people. But what was more common with the Padres last year would be like a back-to-back three-inning starts.
Right.
Not on purpose either. And so all of a sudden they've had to empty out their bullpen two days in a row, and they have a game the next day. And so absolutely, I think that's ridiculous that you would impose rules changes and limits on your pitchers.
Right.
But we got far afield, but I guess that's the fun of the Hot Lava podcast.
It is. And you know, I don't want to keep you anymore. This is a good start for, you know, we didn't do a ton this offseason. I think we'd planned to do more, but nothing happened, so it didn't feel like there was a lot to talk about. And then I know we were both sick for a while, so nobody wanted to hear us during that time. So it's good to get started. I don't want to keep you anymore from your hot building the Hot Wheels track. I know you'll have more people down there this week to help cover that are certainly going to want to be involved with that. So we'll let you move on and get to that, and we'll come back and do one of these certainly next week, and if there's big news before that, then we'll jump on and do it again.
We'll do a 911 Hot Lava podcast.
That's right.
If one of the big guys is signed.
That's right.
If it's Moustakas, we could wait 24, 36 hours.
Yeah, I don't put Moustakas in the 911 category. But
and then, of course, everybody, first full squad workout is on Monday. So how about this? We'll do a podcast, or at least we'll record it on Monday, and that's when we'll get into talking about Tatis, Fernando Tatis, and what are the prospects for him, and maybe a little bit more into some, you know, Hosmer and Myers, how the outfield's going to work.
Right.
But, we've rambled on long enough today. Very much appreciate it, Jay, and we'll talk to you later.
Sounds great, Kevin.